forever. We glorify his holy name. He is an awesome God, and his praises will always be on my lips. And I hope the same for you as well. I always make reference to a man of God, a man who I respect dearly, a man who ordained me as a pastor, Pastor Thurman Scrivener. Potentially you might have heard of him. One of the things that I greatly admire, and this only comes from just spending time with him, not a long period of time, but going out to lunch, going out to eat, just sitting down and having, you know, a discussion, just sitting around discussing. Just about every other word that comes out of his mouth is, praise the Lord. And I truly admire that. How beautiful is that? How are you, sir, today? I'm doing great. Praise the Lord. Great. How did this and that happen? It all worked out perfectly. Praise the Lord. He walks in the room before he greets you. Praise the Lord. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing. But anyways, praise be to the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you, Lord. And we will always praise you. We love you, Lord, so much. And Lord, may you be, Lord, glorified in this live stream. And also, Lord, here in your house. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit dwells in this place. We thank you, Lord, that we have this beautiful sanctuary to come and bask, Lord, in your presence. And enjoy, Lord, the presence of fellow believers, Lord, in you. We exalt your holy name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a brief Bible study this evening. As the baby in the background clears her throat. If in case you picked it up on live stream, please excuse it. I have a very opinionated 10-month-old. No, I don't. Praise God. She is a blessing, indeed. But what I want to talk about this evening is something that potentially is overlooked, and not on purpose. I venture to say that it's neglected. It comes from a story that we all know. And the Lord Jesus Christ used an illustration that we all know of. What is that illustration? And we've seen this so many times spoken by just about everyone, and that is, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the gates of heaven, to enter heaven, right? We all know that part of the passage in the Bible. It's mentioned in Mark, it's mentioned in Matthew, it's mentioned in Luke, right? It's mentioned in all these places. And we've all come and I know every single one of us have had the visual in our minds trying to look at a camel, but look at a camel through the eye of a needle. Much less the Lord is saying it's easier for that camel to go through it. But nonetheless, potentially might be thinking where I'm going with this, but maybe I might have you. I might just throw a curveball here. The title to my sermon this evening is The Neglected Question. The Neglected Question. And why do I call this The Neglected Question? You're about to find out right now. Among the most disappointing stories told in the Bible, and this is from cover to cover. Once again, I'm going to say this. Among the most disappointing elaborations, stories, whatever you might want to consider, is the one about the rich young ruler, as it's called in the title of this passage. The rich young, and then ruler. A disappointing story. This remarkable young man, the Bible says that he came running to Jesus with a very important question concerning eternal life. If it did not matter to him the afterlife, if it didn't matter to him about every single thing that had been taught in the past and up until this point, and potentially he might have heard our Lord Jesus teaching and preaching, and he might have been following our Lord Jesus. The Bible doesn't describe. But potentially this could be a man who has been following the Lord from city to city, from place to place, and the Holy Spirit is just touching him to the point to where as though he finds an opportunity to reach the good teacher, as the Bible says. And he has a very important question to him. And this question is about eternal life. Now, let us look at the impressive picture of this young man as it's set forth in the Scriptures. I could have read out of the book of Matthew, out of the book of Luke, but I've decided to go with the book of Mark. So we're going to read this particular story from the book of Mark. We're going to read Mark chapter 10, and this is going to cover verses 17 through 22. Could I have that, please? And it says, "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Who do you call me? Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments.'" See, the Lord already knows who he's talking to. He says to him, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And I paused when I read this right here. And I considered this entire passage up until this point as far as how the Lord views us when we do what we are supposed to do. We are loved. More to come about this. Continuing in verses 21. Verses 21 says, "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me.' But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful." And why did he go away sorrowful? "For he had great, great possessions." He wasn't just rich. He was very well off. The rich young ruler. Now, the Bible here says, and it particularly mentions this in the title, the header of this passage that we just read. This guy is a young guy. He has youth. He also has a strong position in his neighborhood, in his ambiance. And he is also very wealthy. And the Bible says that he had kept the commandments of God ever since he was small. He had kept the commandments of the Lord ever since a young youth. However, this quality, his crowning quality, is revealed in the question, which is this: what lack I yet? What is it, Lord, that I am still missing? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Ultimately, he's asking, what lack I yet? This question. And it seems that he is still trying to improve himself. And who doesn't respect such a man as this, potentially, you might ask? Who doesn't respect a person who doesn't always want to better themselves when it comes to God? Who doesn't always want to go from one glory to the next glory? Lord, how can I, like right here, I want to get right here. I want to go from here to here. Take me there, Lord. We can all respect that, right? That's something to admire. But the disappointing part of the story is this. This part of the story comes when our Lord Jesus tells him something he evidently didn't want or expected to hear. It got to the point, to the set point that he did not, it just hit home. The Lord knew exactly where he lacked. Because our Lord Jesus knew his heart. And he also knew the thing, the exact thing that he lacked. He knew exactly who he was talking to. So close this young man got, but yet so far. Would you agree with me? He was right there to the point where our Lord Jesus loved him. Our Lord say, I like this guy. This guy is my type of guy. Yes, he is a right man. He walks righteously. He's not like everybody else. He's pure, but yet he's missing something. But the Lord loves him, as the Bible says. But yet, so far, so close, but so far. Let's continue reading. Now picking up on verses 23 through 31. And it says, Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, See, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or land for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. How about that? Praise God. Now, going back to this story right now of this rich young ruler, to him, to this particular young man, the price of following our Lord Jesus and gaining eternal life was more than he was willing to pay. A whole lot more. You would think that somebody like this would be perfectly complete. You would think that somebody like this, nothing would faze them. They are faithful in every single aspect in life. But yet look what the Lord says. Trust. Trust in what? God? In His power? In the Lord to sustain you? Or what? In His guidance? No. Trust in His riches, in His wealth. Now, the same disappointing story, unfortunately, is repeated in today's day and age. In one way or another, many are repeating the tragic mistake that this young man made. Their decision may not be so obvious, but it is the same in that they demonstrate an unwillingness to give up their ways in the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the thing. So, they too, unfortunately, go away. Now, not necessarily away from the church building, okay, or away from religion, or away from our moral beliefs. Not entirely that way. Because I personally don't believe that this rich young ruler, after leaving the Lord, sad, distraught, I cannot believe I just heard this. I don't think that he went and turned to be a pagan. I don't think he totally abandoned the faith and the rules and the laws of Moses and all that he was taught ever since a young child. I don't believe so. The Bible stops right here when it comes to this story. But now bringing this story back to our day and age, as far as people who decide to go away, I'm not particularly referring to they leave the church, or they might leave Christianity altogether, or they might start doing something that they know they're not supposed to do. But they go their way and reject the rules of our God. They seem to say, Lord, I want to serve you, but in my way and in my time. Now, do you feel as though the rich young ruler, this was exactly his attitude? Lord, I want to serve you. I want to serve you with all of my heart, but the way that I want to serve you, how I want to serve you, in my time. And unfortunately, a lot of people in today's day and age want to serve the Lord how they feel comfortable serving God. Think about some of the things that I'm saying. I am only shining light. I am not passing judgment. So, many go their way without seriously considering the needful question. And what is that needful question that I'm referring to right now? What lack I yet, Lord? What lack I yet? Hence the title to my sermon here this evening, The Neglected Question. Question, Lord, what do I lack? What must I do? What lack I yet? They seem to want a religion of convenience, but of not conviction. This is the problem. And now back to the neglected question that I just mentioned. Consequently, this question, what lack I yet, becomes the neglected question. We know that it is a question we should ask. We all know, but we neglect in doing so. We do. And obviously, because of the unwelcoming answer, because of the fear of what we are going to hear, because potentially we might be afraid. Maybe you might even know the answer to that question. You know, but you choose not to ask. But because of the fear of the unwelcome, undiscriminating answer that we know will come forth when we ask. So, since this is the case, this possesses still another question. This brings another question here to light. What is the next question? Do I really want to know wherein am I lacking? Right? Do I want to know? Earlier I said, how awesome, how respectful, how nice, how great it is when someone seeks to be better, seeks to be stronger in the faith, seeks to go from glory to glory. How awesome is that? It's commendable. But nonetheless, now the new question is, do I really want to know wherein I am lacking? If we dread the answer? And if not, then the first question, what lack I yet, means absolutely nothing. It doesn't mean anything. Once there was a man being considered for eldership who invited the offering of any possible objection of his serving. He received plenty of objections. Then he got real angry and began objecting the objectors. So, we're all together here, right? You understand my little story, my little elaboration?
Yeah.
So, those who don't want to know what they're lacking, okay, will always be lacking.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I ask you, what am I missing here? And you tell me everything that I'm missing and then I get upset at you, I'm potentially always going to be missing, right? They will forever be going away from the Lord and missing out true spiritual blessings, spiritual freedom, spiritual power, spiritual gifts. But it first starts with you. Lord, what am I missing? What do I still lack? Now, there are those who really want to know. Who really, really want to know. As opposed to those already mentioned, there are those who really want to know what lacks in their spiritual life. I know of a couple people, even in this congregation, who are like that. God bless them. And such ones sincerely seek their own improvement when it comes to a closer relationship with God. That is great. They really and truly want to know what can keep them from the heavenly treasures or eternal life and blessings. Our Lord Jesus alludes to such a spirit as this as he tells the young man, if you want to be perfect. And where he said this is actually in the book of Matthew. The same story. But he does say something there that really struck home with me. Can I please have, this is the same story but now told by Matthew. It's mentioned in Matthew chapter 19 verses 21. Our Lord Jesus responds to him. May I have that please? And it says, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, you see there?
Yeah.
Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But I want to elaborate on the beginning part of this verse. The response of our Lord Jesus to him, if you want to be perfect. How about that? Did you catch that? This young man does everything. He doesn't steal. He doesn't commit adultery. He loves his father and mother. His word is right. He doesn't bear false witness. I mean, down the list. And the Lord knows his heart. He's not lying because the Lord loves him right after he says that. But then the Lord says, if you want to be perfect, this young man was so close, but yet so far, right there. Strong desire underlies every worthwhile achievement, whether doing or learning. Strong desires. And now the question begs, where is your strong desire? Does your strong desire lean toward heavenly things in pleasing Him, or your agenda, your personal time? Is this a matter of convenience for you or inconvenience? May I please have John chapter 7, verse 17. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. What am I saying here? The Bible here says, if anyone wills to know his will, if anybody wants to know the perfect will of God, the mind of God, where the Lord wants to set you, he shall know concerning his doctrine, the book of John says. Ultimately, he who truly hungers and thirsts after righteousness is what the Bible says right now. We all know the passage, correct? The Bible says what? They shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, is what the Bible says. And this is what John is saying right now. Ultimately, he who wants to be right more than anything else, who hungers and thirsts more than riches, more than convenience, will continually confront himself with this question, Lord, what lack I yet, Lord? What do I still need? What improvement? What am I missing? Show me, Lord. And then, if he is willing to listen, this is the second part to this, because we can all pose the question. We can all ask the question, Lord, what am I missing? But here's the second part, equally as important. If this individual is willing to listen, whether it's a he or a she, the Lord will answer him through his word. And the Bible makes a promise to us that he shall be filled. He will be filled. Because it provides all the things needed to make one complete. What does? The Word of God. The Word of God provides every single need, spiritual need for us to move forward here in this life, for us to gain spiritual blessings, spiritual riches, authority, power, and everything else in between. And I'm going to show this to you. Can I please have 2 Timothy 3? We're going to cover verses 16 and 17. All the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see there? Every single good work. So, the question becomes now, am I willing to face the question, what lack I yet? Am I willing to face that question? And then, the second part to this, am I willing to accept the answer of what the Lord says? Because you already know what the Lord is going to say is going to hit home. It's going to hit home. It's going to be either be a sacrifice, a commitment, whether it's something that you treasure, whether it's something that you hold dear in your heart. Ultimately, am I willing to face that question? Are you willing to face the question? These are some words that were spoken to me once, and I have quoted this a couple of times. A man of God once told me, when I was drilling him, I was really drilling him, he's with the Lord now, about this next level. I need to get to the next level. This was about 4 years ago. Yeah, about 4 years ago or so. His words were, "Are you willing to pay the price?" And then the conversation ended. But I didn't know what the price was. But now, bringing back now to this story of the rich young ruler, are you willing to pay that price? Are you willing to hear the answer of what you are lacking so you can go from here to here? Praise God. I'm going to conclude this evening service by asking you this question. Is the question, "What lack I yet?" a neglected question in your life? Think about it for a moment. What lack I yet? This particular question, is this one that is neglected? And if it is, my question to you now is, why is it? Why is it neglected? Are you afraid of what the answer is going to be? Is that the particular reason? Do you neglect the question intentionally because you do not want to think of or be reminded of the thing or things lacking in your life right now? And if that's the case, the Lord is calling. He's calling you right now. And why not give consideration to the question as it implies to your life at this very moment? And then be willing to accept the answer and follow it to help you. Do that. Do that one thing that is right, or those things that are right, that the Holy Spirit has placed in your heart, that you know that you're supposed to change, or that you know that you're supposed to do and you are not doing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. It is my desire that every single one of us here in this room and every single one of you watching right now on the live stream would ask yourself this question as early as tonight before you go to bed. Lord, what lack I yet? That one neglected question. Praise God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, right now, Lord, we come before your presence. And Lord, I present everyone here, Lord, in this place. And everyone, Lord, right now watching, I present them, Lord, to you right now. And I pray, Lord, that they would come to you on a one-on-one basis, and ask you, Lord, sincerely, with all of their hearts, with all pure intentions, Lord, what do I still lack? What am I missing? What do you want me to do? And I pray, Lord, that your grace will abound on them. And you will show them, Lord, what exactly they need to do in order for them to go from here to there. In order, Lord, for them to grow, for them to be blessed, for them to receive from you, receive heavenly things, heavenly blessings, healing, Lord, direction, love, peace, a sound mind, and everything else in between, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will earnestly come to your presence, Lord, with a sincere heart, to not just wanting to know the answer, but to act on it with a pure heart, with willingness, Lord, with all that we have. May we always, Lord, be compliant to your will, to your instructions, to your directions, Lord, in every aspect of life. As I always say, Lord, we love you, and we will always love you. Be magnified, Lord, in our lives. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.